Let me start over. Find your Bibles and open them with me this morning to Matthew chapter 9. For those of you who have not met, I'm Steve Washburn, the pastor here. There's several pastors. I'm the senior pastor. Last Sunday, we began looking at our new mission. Our new mission as a congregation, our new mission as individuals, and I pray that as individuals, we are kind of reexamining ourselves and considering this. We're looking again at Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, as we did last Sunday. Now, we introduced you last week to the Bible app, YouVersion, and explained to you how you can interact live with us during the sermon. If you go there now this morning, it'd be the same thing. Now, I did have people who were crowded around the students out there who were helping you figure out all this technology last week. And many of you said, I don't have a smartphone. Well, that's okay. Some of the rest of you said, well, I have a smartphone, but I don't want to bother with that new Bible app. That's okay, too. You can do that. You don't have to get online and interact with us. You continue doing things the way you've always done, and your worship experience won't change at all. But for those of you who kind of enjoy this kind of technology, I would share with you that last week on YouVersion, we asked the question, what does our new slogan, love big, live bold, mean to you? And we got several responses. One of you said, it means love others as God loves us and never waver from the truth of Scripture. And that's great. Spot on. Another said, love without question and live out Christ's commands without apology. I love that too. Another said, it means to live fearlessly for God. So you clearly had the idea of what our new slogan is all about. This one serves as a good intro into today's study. You said, make a real impact for Jesus in our community. Well, you're going to learn here in just a moment. That's exactly what we're talking about. Follow along with me as I read this morning from Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus went to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Now, notice there, Jesus clearly was sending his disciples in a new direction. That's what he's doing with us this morning. The title of the message this morning is A New Direction. So, just like with the disciples, from time to time, we need to understand from time to time, Jesus sends us in a new direction. Last Sunday we talked about a new definition. This morning we're going to be talking about a new direction. Last Sunday I asked you to think about a time in your life when your life was kind of redefined. Like the day you got married, you know? You woke up the morning after your wedding and your life had changed considerably. Or the time you had your first child, you know, your identity had changed. Overnight, you became mother or dad, you know, just a whole new definition. So this Sunday, I want you to think about a time in your past when your life took on a whole new direction. You were going this way, And now suddenly you're going that way. It may have been when you first went into the military. That's my testimony to you. When I woke up my first morning in Marine boot camp, my life had taken on a new direction. I was going that way, now I'm going that way. Or a career change, or a job change. You know, at one point you're going one direction, and now because of the events of life, you're going another direction. So that's what we're talking about this morning, is a new direction. We began last week talking about a new definition. Well, a big part of a new definition is a new direction. Now, what we want to do is look at the new direction Jesus sent these early disciples and learn from that the new direction Jesus is sending us as a congregation. And I hope you're on board as individuals, sending us in a brand new direction this morning. Let's begin by looking at the harvest. You see there in verse 37 and 38, three times Jesus referred to the harvest. Who's he talking about? Well, just a little bit of background here. In chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus preached his very first sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He preached that in the region of Galilee, very likely on a hill facing the Sea of Galilee. In fact, these chapters we're looking at are called Jesus' Galilean ministry. But if you look back at chapter 9 with me for just a moment, chapter 9, verse 1, so Jesus got into a boat and crossing over the Sea of Galilee, and came to his own town. That's what he called the city of Capernaum. He crossed over the Sea of Galilee and came to Capernaum. And what he's doing now is he's using Capernaum as a base, home base, and he's branching out from Capernaum, kind of spidering out in all these different directions, going to all these small towns and villages that he mentions there in verse 35 of our passage. So that's kind of the setting as he mentions here first the harvest. So as Jesus looked out at the crowds of people who were gathering there to hear him in these small villages, verse 36 says, there was something about these people in the villages that broke his heart. Can you tell by looking there in verse 36 what it was about them that broke his heart? Well, it says what broke his heart was they were weary and worn out. Life had really just worn on them. The New International Version says they were harassed and helpless. Life had just harassed them, and there was nothing they could do about it on their own. They were helpless. These people were weary and worn out, and Jesus' heart went out to them. Scripture says he had compassion on them as he was ministering to them. So Jesus used the harvest as a metaphor. The harvest is folks who are weary and worn out. And I'll tell you what comes to my mind as we talk about these kinds of people. 10 years ago now, 14 of us from our congregation went to Beirut to hand out Bibles to the Muslims in West Beirut. And it was the trip of a lifetime. None of us have ever forgotten it. When we got back, we wanted to return trip, but we couldn't because things got dangerous over there, and we couldn't run the risk of going back to Beirut. But and many things touched our hearts, but we had been on a trip out east of Beirut, and as we were returning to Beirut, we came through a refugee camp. And the refugee camp set off to the north of the road. So as we were coming through in this large van, all 14 of us were in this large van, people from this refugee camp kind of came out and slowed us down at first and stopped the van after a minute, begging from us for anything we would give them. And the driver of the van told us not to give them anything for our own safety, not to give them anything. But as we looked out there at them begging, it broke our hearts. They were harassed and helpless. They were weary and worn out. That's kind of the vision that comes to my mind. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to go to Lebanon. You don't have to go to Syria. You don't have to go to Turkey to find the weary and worn out. You know why? Being weary and worn out is a state of mind. Those who are weary and worn out are all around us. Life has harassed people all around us. Some of you here in this room. Life has harassed people all around us so that they're helpless. They have no way of dealing with it without Christ Jesus. You want to talk about someone who's weary and worn out? You talk to someone who's lost a loved one in death. You know, they are broken. They are absolutely pain wrecked. And they can't escape it. Harassed and helpless. Or talk to someone who's going through a divorce. I had someone tell me one time, you know, if a person loses their spouse to death, at least that's clean. But in a divorce, they're still there. It's a daily reminder of how broken they are. Or talk to someone who has a rebellious teenager. You know, we raise our kids the best we can. We do everything we know how to do, and our teenagers get to a point where they just say, I'm going my own direction. It tears our hearts out. Or financial problems, or termination at work. These things tear our hearts out. They wring our minds out. We're harassed. We're helpless. We're weary and worn out. And Jesus looked out at these people he was confronting here in these villages, and he saw these people, and it broke his heart. We're surrounded by a harvest of the weary and worn out today. And I wanted to stop here for a moment and let you think about that. Write that down. I'm going to build on that. Not just today, but I'm going to build on that in the days to come. We are surrounded by a harvest of weary and worn out people all around us today. Now let's think about the workers. In verse 37 and 38, Jesus refers to the workers. Who are these workers? What does Jesus expect the workers to do? Well, we know that Jesus never expected the 12 disciples to be the workers. You know how we know that? Because he was speaking to his 12 disciples when he said there in verse 38, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. You know? So the 12 disciples, their primary job was to pray to God and ask God to send the workers out. They weren't the workers. Later on, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus repeated his training on new directions by sending out 70 more to minister to the weary and worn out. But we know that Jesus never expected the 70 followers to be his workers either. We know that because he was speaking to these 70 followers in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, when he said to them, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. So their primary job, the primary job of the 70, was the same as the primary job of the 12. Their primary job was to pray. They were to pray and ask God to send out the workers. I think you know where I'm going with this. Jesus demonstrated the new direction he wants us to minister by by showing us what's going on with the 12 disciples. And Jesus demonstrated the new direction he wants us to go by showing us what was going on with the 70. But Jesus always expected us, not them, to be his workers. Us. We're the workers. And then the all-important question, what does Jesus expect us, his workers, to do? I pointed this out last week, but I'll say it to you again this morning. Chapter 10 is all about Jesus instructing his disciples, in their setting, in their context, instructing his disciples how to do the work he wants us to do. But in chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, he issues this overall summary instruction statement. He says, as you go, announce this, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Then, he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, drive out demons. You have received free of charge. Give free of charge. If I may just paraphrase, Jesus expects us to find and minister to the weary and the worn out, no strings attached. Let me say that again. Very important. The harvest are the weary and worn out all around us here. And Jesus expects us, his workers, to minister to the weary and the worn out, no strings attached. Write that down, burn that in your mind. And now I want to talk about the plan. We've talked about the harvest, we've talked about the workers, what's the plan? Let me share with you this pilgrimage. When I had my surgery, I couldn't drive for 30 days. I got serious, chronic cabin fever in my house. Beautiful house. But I wanted out like a caged leopard. So every day and sometimes twice a day, Linda would take me for a drive. And we would just drive all around Pflugerville. On one of those days, close to the end of my 30 days of confinement, we went past a subdivision. I said, let's turn in here. I've never been in this subdivision. So we turned in. I was expecting to find a few streets back there and some houses and some duplexes maybe. I was stunned. This subdivision, I'd never been in it. It was street after street after street after street after street. It just kept going. And it reached a point where it kind of narrowed, went across a little bridge, and it came out again, and there were just as many streets on that side. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. I was floored by how big the subdivision was. And Linda asked the question. She said, where do all these people go to church? Well, I know all the pastors in Pflugerville. I know their pews are not packed with people from the subdivision. And my answer to her was, I don't think they go to church anywhere. I don't think they go anywhere. Some of them, yeah. We got a few of them in our church, but I'm talking about thousands of people. They don't go to church anywhere. And that day was the genesis of what's going on this month. That day, God convicted me. That day, God said to me something like this. Not all will believe it in my heart. He said, shame on you, Steve. Shame on you. You're the pastor of the largest church in Pflugerville, and you're doing nothing, nothing to minister to these people. And I want you to know, it wasn't very many days after that, we had a deacon's meeting, and I came to the deacon's meeting on fire. You can ask the deacons. I was kicking piano stools. I was knocking over benches. I went up to the whiteboard, and, you know, and the deacons caught on fire, too. They're, amen, amen, amen. That right, Charlie? On fire. And then, at some point, I can't remember now when it was, had all the leaders of the adult grow groups and everything else assembled right here in this room. And I was so passionate about it, I could barely speak. I got my tongue all twisted and got things in front of the other, just sharing with them, we're doing a lousy job of reaching the weary and the worn out. They're all around us. We're not doing anything to help them. So that's where this started. Now, this plan actually has a form. It began with the thought that reaching all of Pflugerville has always been overwhelming to me. There are 60,000 people almost in this town. We can't reach them all. So the Lord reminded me of this passage, Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, where he directed his disciples to go one village at a time. You see that? One village at a time. Well, our villages are called subdivisions. Do you know how many subdivisions there are in Pflugerville? I went to the Pflugerville website. There are 69 subdivisions in Pflugerville. 69 subdivisions. Villages. There are 69 villages here in Pflugerville. So in our plan, we will reach Pflugerville one subdivision at a time. Each month, and we're calling this our Community Connect, each month our Community Connect assignment is going to look something like this. This is going to be the assignment. Don't put that up yet. Yeah, we're going to take a subdivision, and we're going to spend a month reaching that one subdivision, this one or another one like it. This one or another one like it. We're going to take a month to do that. We're going to rally all our resources and spend a month targeting just one subdivision or a portion of the subdivision. We're going to meet here Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock, divide into several teams of two, just like the disciples did, and go into our targeted subdivision. When people arrive at 5 o'clock, they're going to be given an assignment. Now put the assignment up there. This is what each assignment is going to look like with a highlighted street. That's one assignment to one two-person team. There's another assignment to another two-person team, and so on and so forth. So each two-person team is going to get an assignment. No one would be expected to serve more than one Sunday a month. We are going to divide the Community Connection month into four Sundays. And here's what the Sunday is going to look like. Sunday number one is going to be for prayer teams. People are going to come here to the church. They're going to get their assignments. And these prayer teams, we're going to divide them up into teams of two. These prayer teams are going to go out to their assigned street or streets, and they're going to prayer walk. I'll talk to you more about that at a later time. They're going to prayer walk. It's not intimidating at all to the people in the subdivision. It's going to look like we're walking along talking to each other, but we're praying for the houses in our assigned street. Sunday number two is going to be our distribution team. Distribution teams are going to take their assignments, and they're going to go out into that subdivision, and they're going to hand our handouts on. They're going to hang them on the door. They're going to hang our handouts on the doors. And I know some are going to say, well, people don't like us getting in their yard. They don't like us walking up to the doors. They don't like us hanging things on the doors. That's okay. We won't reach those people. But still, we're going to go out and we're going to hang handouts on every door. Here's what our own handouts are going to look like. Tailor-made. Daniel McKinty made these. It's going to be 8 envelope-sized cards. Each of these envelope-sized cards is going to highlight one of the ministries we already have here in this congregation that will meet the needs of the hurting and the harassed, the weary and the worn out. Our hope is we're going to find somebody out there in those areas. We're going to catch them at just the right moment where they're hurting, they're weary, they're worn out. They've got rebellious kids. They've got young preschoolers, elementary, that they don't know what to do with, don't know how to help them. It might be single adults who are looking for somebody to connect with. It may be women who are looking for other women to study the Bible. We're going to catch them at just the right moment, some of them, where they have a need. The front card looks like this. Here's a man who's obviously weary and worn out. Life is challenging. It gets easier when we're connected. That's going to appeal to somebody, not everybody. Out of 1,000 people, maybe 30. This is going to touch their hearts. I'm hurting. This appeals to me. And then each of those cards behind it, we'll look at a couple of them. Here's one, support groups in the community, for the community. Turn it over. Let's look at the other side. We're going to tell them about grief share, divorce care, cancer support. Let me read. Grief share says, if you've lost a spouse, child, family member, or friend, you've probably found there are not many people who understand the deep hurt you feel. Grief share groups meet weekly to help you face these challenges and move toward rebuilding your life. That's going to speak to somebody. Let's show them another card. Here's one for singles. So on the verse side here, this is a single who's looking for some connection. We've got 18 to 35, 35 plus, single moms, on and on. And all we're trying to do is catch them at their moment of need and say, here's a group you might meet. That's our plan. We're going to distribute these and hang them on people's doors. The third team is going to be the discovery team. This is Sunday number three. Sunday number three, our discovery team is going to go out. Their job is to follow the distribution teams. They're going to go out into their assigned streets, and they're going to try to discover the people who are really hurting. You know, they're going to go from door to door and say, did you receive our handout last Sunday? Most of them are going to say, I'm not interested. And we're going to say, okay, thank you. Have a great day. But somewhere on those streets, we're going to find people who are going to say, yeah, you know, we did receive that. We're really interested in that support group. Or we're really interested in what to do with our children. And those are the people that are weary and worn out, and we're going to stop there, and we're going to minister to them. We're going to love on them. We're going to sympathize with them. We're going to have compassion. We're going to give them some information about that support group, a phone number. We're going to pray with them, and we're going to stay in contact with them. We're going to find those in Pflugerville who are weary and worn out, and we're going to minister to them in the name of the Savior, the name of the Lord. No strings attached. They don't have to be Baptist. They don't have to be religious. We're going to minister to them. We're going to earn the right to be heard, and at some point, we're going to share Christ with them. Somewhere down the road. Fourth Sunday is going to be celebration. What that means is we're going to gather up here at 5 o'clock in the prayer teams, the distribution teams, the discovery teams. We're all going to meet here together. We're going to have snacks. We're going to laugh together. We're going to share testimonies. We're going to share victories of things that went on. We're going to support each other, encourage each other, and we're going to get the assignment for the next month in the next subdivision. What do you think? Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, you're kind of passionate about this. You wait till I get you up here. I'm going to show you passionate. I'm going to set you on fire. Now, on the evening of the 28th, coming up in a couple of weeks, on the evening of February the 28th, we're going to have a training time up here at 5 o'clock. And I want to share a lot more with you about how we're going to do this. Will you come? Will you come on the 28th? In your worship guide, there is a little short handout. Find it. Find it. If you're willing to attend this training session on the 28th, just out of curiosity, I know we've said I'll join with others in helping, but if you're just willing to come to the training out of curiosity, right in here on the 28th, will you sign this and then print your name And I want to tell you at the end of the hour what we're going to do with this. If you have no interest, that's okay. Just hold the blank card in your hand. Now, here's my promise to you. If no one else in this congregation participates, on Sunday number one, I'm going to be out prayer walking this community by myself. On Sunday number two, my wife raised her hand, so she's going to be with me. That's good. On Sunday number two, Linda and I are going to be out distributing these handouts. And on Sunday number three, we're going to be out in subdivision, some subdivision, trying to find the weary and the worn out and carry the ministries of Jesus to them. That's my promise to you. Join me. Join us. One Sunday a month, an hour and a half max. Let's find them and help them. Okay? Now, I'm always amazed at how the Holy Spirit works. These last two Sundays have been presentations. Did you see how the Holy Spirit moved last Sunday? Wasn't that amazing? You need to know He's already done that again this morning. And I'm just saying that to you to say, we have found the heart of God. And He's going to bless this. Let Him bless you this morning. Bow your heads with me. Father, we sure get caught up in Scripture, believing it to be complex and believing it to be kind of beyond our understanding. But it's not. It's so simple. As you went to these small subdivisions around Capernaum, you were impressed with the people. You were brokenhearted by the people there who were just broken, hurting, weary, worn out. You told your disciples to pray for us. And then you showed us through your disciples what you wanted us to do. And we're just stepping up to the plate today, and we're just saying, all of us, we've heard you. It's a new direction for us. It's a new direction for us as a group. It's a new direction for us as individuals, but we're going to find them. We're going to find the harassed and the helpless. We're going to find the weary and worn out. And we're going to minister to them, no strings attached. Now, Lord, there's someone here this morning, more than one, who's touched by your Holy Spirit. Never really come to the point where they've publicly declared they're going to follow you. And today you're laying it on their heart in this very moment. That's what you're asking them to do today. Help them. Help them. Lay heavily upon their heart right now. Love on them. Receive them. Draw them to you. Do this great life-changing work in their life today. Lord, there are others here in this room who have come maybe out of curiosity to find out what's going on over there at that congregation with Big Steeple. And they've come in here today and you've set their souls on fire. So, Father, we pray that you bring them here to take part. Bring them here to be one of us. Others who just now in this moment know they need to pray and they want to come to the altar. As soon as this music starts, they're going to come to the altar. So, Father, we pray that you draw us to you. Do a great work in our hearts and our lives here this morning. We pray in your name. Amen.